it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast,
a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
CEO, president, chancellor types will meet today at 3 o'clock Pacific time, and they will try to make a decision on what to do with fall football. I think it'd be valuable for us to get to some of the Pac-12 cities today, and we go to Salt Lake City next with Josh Newman of the Salt Lake Tribune. He covers Utah. Josh, what's the temperature there? What's the atmosphere, and what are Utah fans talking about?
I think people are just a little on edge. You know, look, the fans want football, and it seems like we're pretty close. It seems like we're on the doorstep, but I don't think anybody in this market, in this fan base, is going to feel good about anything until, you know, the ball is actually kicked off. So hopefully we can take a significant step towards that by around like dinner time today, hopefully.
Yeah, so feels about right.
I suppose we'll see.
What is, you got an athletic department there that furloughed the entire athletic department. Does that play a factor in any of this?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Look, I've said this all along. I feel like Utah has been, you know, pretty prudent and pretty careful with every step they've taken. And, they decided to furlough the entire athletic department, as you just said, from the athletic director, Mark Harlan, all the way down. Everybody takes responsibility. Everybody has to deal with it. It's just not the big money people that are giving up money. Everybody pitches in, teamwork. So, look, I don't have to tell you, right? Everything having to do with football and playing football, it all has to do with money, right? Utah was going into this thing with a $60 million hole in their operating budget. People have been furloughed. People inside that athletic department have been laid off. So Utah needs to play football. And the earlier you can start the season, they would like to start on Halloween. You know, that's been made pretty clear. The sooner you start football, the sooner you can start getting back some of that revenue, starting to get back some of that TV money, and hopefully you can close up some of that $60 million hole and people can stop being furloughed. It's all about money.
Josh Newman with us covers Utah for the Salt Lake Tribune. There are some programs that have whispered about being ready to play. There are others that are eyeing or targeting maybe not being ready on Halloween. Where does Kyle Whittingham's program stand in that, in your opinion?
Just based on the timetable, I mean, look, they started bringing back not just football players, but they started bringing back student athletes in general in mid-June for voluntary workouts. And the football program has been working this entire time under the parameters that they've been given, and they've been training and they've been working. Obviously, no contact, no tackling, but they've been doing what they've, you know, been allowed to do. Utah wants to start early. Utah wants to start on Halloween. I did hear one well-placed rumor that if they were even allowed to, they would like to start even earlier. You know, this six-week ramp-up period that the Pac-12 is likely going to institute, I don't know if that should apply to every school in the league, especially a place like Utah where, again, they've been training, they've been working, they have not been holed up, unable to do anything. So they are a little bit ahead of the curve here. You know, in theory, instead of 6 weeks, maybe Utah is ready in 3 or 4 weeks. So point is, Utah would like to start earlier than later. I understand that it's either going to be October 31st or November 7th. Likely at this point, Utah definitely falls into the October 31st window.
I was looking at, you know, Santa Clara County and Stanford being an obstacle because they were just behind the curve or behind the others when with being open and ready to get people in groups. Now you have Boulder County in Colorado that is banning the, you know, young students getting together. How does that, in your opinion, affect the Pac-12's decision today?
I don't think it makes it any easier. I think it only makes it tougher. I mean, look, the early days of this thing, I was definitely on board with this, you know, Larry Scott Pac-12 thinking of, okay, we, you know, we move in lockstep, we're in unison, it's either, you know, all of us or none of us. And that made a lot of sense. But now you start looking at the money and the financial figures and the, again, the furloughs and the layoffs, and not just in Utah, right? Places like Washington are, you know, are hemorrhaging, and, you know, Oregon and all these places. So, you know, at this point, if you're leaving it up to me, if you're ready to play, great. Five teams, six teams, fine. Let those guys play on Halloween. Everybody else, if you can get yourself together for November 7th, great. We have a staggered start. And if you're in, you're in. If not, deal with it. And we'll see you next fall maybe. But I'm at the point now just thinking about Utah. You know, if you're ready to play, you should be allowed to play. You know, it's been a long 6 months. A lot has gone on. You know, the kids want to play. The coaches want to coach. We're talking about livelihood. We're talking about, you know, kids' mental health. All sorts of factors going into this thing. But I, at this point, as we head towards some type of clarity later today, I think I do fall under the category of if you're ready to play, great. Let's kick it off on Halloween. And if you're not, well, you know, we'll deal with that later.
I feel the same way. I am also, you know, cognizant of the fact that, you know, there are some communities that are just not comfortable. And I'm not going to judge them if they're not comfortable. Or there's a university that's not comfortable. I'm not going to judge them and say, okay, you wimped out. I mean, you're not going to hear that from me. Josh Newman, Salt Lake Tribune, covers Utah football. How did high school football, or how is high school football going in Utah? And does that lend you any confidence, or how does that affect your confidence in whether college football can do this?
I think the fact that high school football is being played in Utah is pretty close to the height of insanity. You know, especially at the public school level, high school athletics is not college athletics. College athletics, you know, we're heading, at least in the Pac-12, we're heading towards daily testing, rapid response. You know, they can find out who's positive. They can quarantine those people. That's in a completely different thing than high school football. What's going on in the state of Utah right now is an embarrassment because you're getting a bunch of cancellations. Some schools started in person. You know, the virus ripped through those communities and those schools, and now those schools are going online. And in the middle of all this, we are still playing high school football. One story that is just boggling my mind right now is Provo High School. They are not allowed to have fans or anything right now for football at Provo High School because the cases have spiked. So Provo High School tried to take their homecoming game and move it to a neighboring high school to try to get fans into the game. Thankfully, that got shot down entirely, but not a good situation with high school football being played in Utah. And as somebody from the Northeast where things are a little more liberal, controlled, it's just crazy to me to see what's going on around Utah right now.
I keep looking at the playoff, and I hear people talking about the playoff discussion. The more I think about it, the less I believe a Pac-12 team can get there. How much of a talking point is that for the CEO group at 3 o'clock today?
Zero. Just from the point of a Pac-12 team is very, very likely not going to the playoff. You know, if you take the entire Pac-12 and you haven't played 6-7 games against each other, that's really not going to do much for your playoff hopes. I mean, you go into the season, who has a realistic expectation of going to the playoff? Probably Oregon. Oregon is thinking national title. The delusional Utah fan, maybe. The delusional Washington fan, USC. So in terms of actually qualifying for the playoff, no, I don't think that should be a big talking point, big deciding factor. Now, there is money to be made because you are a Power 5, Autonomous 5 league, so you are getting a base number in the, you know, tens of millions of dollars. From that standpoint, yeah, again, money. You want to be playing football. You need to play football. You need to pay your bills. And the college football playoff is a big part of that. So, yes, you want to play to be able to cash in on what your base number is as a Power 5 league, but in terms of a team actually getting to a college football playoff, that would be short-sighted because I don't see any reasonable, rational route that a Pac-12 team is getting there this year.
Kyle Whittingham's done such a good job. They're tough. They're physical up front. The defense last year was very good, although they lost a lot of players who have graduated or moved on. How good can this team be? Let's just talk within the conference. Where do you see Utah football right now in the conference?
I would say number three in the league. I don't think that's unfair. Oregon, even with some defections to the draft, I still believe Oregon is the class of the league. And then USC would be pretty close to the prohibitive favorite in the South. And then I think you have Utah. I mean, I really feel like they're a pretty solid number three. Some people may argue Arizona State three, Utah four. This is what you have to understand about Utah. There is enough respect for what Kyle Whittingham has done, especially in the last few years, that despite losing so many veteran pieces off last year's team's defense, you got to replace nine starters. Despite all that, this Utah team was ranked 20th in the AP poll sight unseen in the preseason. So the perception is strong, and despite all the pieces missing, I do think they could be very good again. It'll be interesting to see how they kind of operate under this ramp-up period. Still got to pick a quarterback. Still got to figure out some key pieces on the outside on defense. But you would think that they would, especially on defense, you would think that they would have their ducks in a row and be ready once the ball gets kicked off.
Josh Newman, Salt Lake Tribune, is with us. All right, we've talked about what would be good for the conference. What would be awful today? What's the worst-case outcome?
Worst-case scenario is that the Presidents and Santos cannot figure this out, and they just bag the whole thing. They just bag the whole thing. They bail on football. That would have, negative consequences, dire ramifications in so many different arenas, in so many different areas, if we go to bed tonight without a football season. Again, money, athletic departments are hemorrhaging, jobs, livelihoods. I've been thinking a lot lately about, the mental health of these kids. If there is no football, if there is no uniform order where you're at the facility every day and you're getting treatment and nutrition and you're eating right, I think that's a major piece of the puzzle all over the country that is probably a little underreported, the mental health aspect of this entire thing. So, yeah, worst case scenario is we don't get football this fall. I think we're at the point, September 24th, where I think we're done kicking the can down the road, right? We're not going to delay this anymore. Something is happening today. Either we're playing football or we're not. Let's hope it's the former.
Appreciate you, Josh Newman, Salt Lake Tribune. Follow him on Twitter. Read him on the Salt Lake Tribune's website. Leave it here. John Wilner, Bay Area News Group, coming up later in the show. Up next, our Big Splash. Every day on the program, we do a big splash. It's the biggest thing you need to know. And today comes from the NFL.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the big splash.
Well, the Seahawks and the Cowboys will face off this week in America's Game of the Week on Fox. Happens at 1:25 p.m. on Sunday. Cowboys, Seahawks, Fox put their best crew, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, Aaron Andrews, on that game. I find it interesting because I get the fascination with the Dallas Cowboys, but the Seahawks, only in 2 weeks of this NFL season, have asserted themselves as a team that you have to pay attention to, a team that matters. There are a lot of people picking the Seahawks to win that game. home game against the Dallas Cowboys. But it is the splashy thing that I want to talk about. Pete Carroll, aging Pete Carroll, aging Russell Wilson, a Seahawks team that last season looked like it was waning, not waxing. And here they are playing against America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, in America's big game on Fox coming up this weekend. It's the one thing you need to know. The Seahawks, they just won't go away. They're like a cockroach, your team, Judah Newby.
Oh, man, that is so flattering. Thank you so much. take the over in this game, JC. Both defenses banged up. Seattle's pass defense certainly and pass rush leads something to be desired. I am certainly worried about this game for the Seahawks, but it's kind of a you know, an adventure of the heart each and every week with this team. So this week should be no different.
49ers injury report coming out. Tevin Coleman did not practice. Dee Ford did not practice. Jimmy Garoppolo did not practice. Dre Greenlaw did not practice. Raheem Mostert did not practice. George Kittle was limited. The 49ers are extinct.
Well, if the Seahawks are a cockroach, what are the 49ers? A carcass? I mean, what's going on?
I think it's going to go down as one of those years. Like, it's there's some teams that just have one of those years where all of a sudden they... you know, they can't keep anybody healthy.
Yeah.
And you've seen it before, and people can blame it on, oh, you know, the training camp wasn't there or not. But I just think it goes, it speaks, like, we've seen this. The Rams had a year like this a few years ago where, like, everybody thought they were going to be really good. They just could not stay healthy. And right now, if you don't have receivers, and they lost receivers in training camp, and, of course, now George Kittle got hurt in the opener, and then Jimmy G got hurt last week, and Mostert ran for 80 yards and a touchdown in the opening series, and then does not practice this week. And of course, you know, they lose Nick Bosa to an injury, and all of a sudden they're just not the same team. And you know, they're just lucky that they're playing the Jets and the Giants in consecutive weeks, so they're getting some bad teams. But this, if they don't get healthy, they will not. They will not be a factor in that division. It's just too tough.
Well, 7 playoff teams this year in the NFC. I'm not ruling Kyle Shanahan out yet.
This is a big day for the conference. Big day for the Pac-12. Potentially a historic day for the conference. I love that people are calling in from around the country. I love that people in Utah and in Phoenix are listening to the show. You're always welcome at baldfacetruth.com to stream the show. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we've got Punch It Audio. John Wilner, the foremost expert on the Pac-12, will be joining
us. We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face Truth.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.